Accession number 16717, John Everett, Reel 1.
Mr. Everett, Reel 1. Where and when were you born, Mr. Everett?
24th of the 1st, 1921.
Where was this?
Holyhead, the Isle of Anglesey. That's where I was born.
What did your father do for a living?
I remember my father, when I was at school, coming home on leave from the Navy. I'd be about 8, 9 years old. That's the only recollection I have of him in uniform. Then when he come out of the Navy, I was 10, 11 year old, and he started working a place called, Silica Works, not on Holyhead itself. A boiler man with him being in the Navy, he was a stoker in the Navy, and he got a job there, fireman. And the boy of the works, what he actually did was, used to be heat the bricks, they used to make fire bricks there. And the idea of the boiler was to pump in steam under the hot plates to dry the bricks. And that was my dad's work, like. And there was four of us, two girls, another son and myself.
Had he served in the First World War? Had your father been in the First World
War? First World War, yeah, in the Navy, yeah. He was on HMS Tiger, and he was, later on, when I was getting a bit older in life, he used to tell me when he found out, when I went to come into service, he was in the Battle of Dogger Bank outside this way, he said, where they sunk the Blucher. He was in that particular battle, he used to tell me about it when he was in the Navy, like, you know what I mean? He used to tell me all sorts of things about it. And actually myself, when I come to about 12-year-old, going on to 13, I wanted to join the Navy, and I had very little education, because they learned us there down in the school in Holyhead, a place called Llangoch. In the morning, you got Welsh lessons, in the afternoon, you got the lessons in English, and I wanted to join the Navy, so I filled the application forms, went up. I failed, was it twice or three times, with mathematics, failed. Then now, my cousin, he was 2 months older than me, and he wanted to go in the Navy. And my auntie, that was my dad's sister, she said, well, our Billy is going in the Navy. Billy passed for the Navy, and I didn't. Oh, she said, I'd never let him go in the Army. And I believe later on, I found out the first trip he did when the war broke out, he was torpedoed and his body was picked up. He was found, never seen him no more, you know.
Did your mother work?
My mother was, never worked, my mother didn't, no. My mother was real Welsh. She could actually, very little English she could speak at that particular time, you know, only broken English. My dad was English, my dad belonged to Liverpool, I believe. Oh, my granddad was Liverpoolian, you know. And my grandmother, which I never knew my grandmother, she was Scotch. She come from Edinburgh. But I knew my other grandfather, my mum's dad, I knew him. And he was a stonemason. I believe there's some of his work still standing in Holyhead. And I still recall him. He had a big beard on, you know. And he was real Welsh. My mum was what he called real Welsh. She was Hughes, her surname used to be. And she had one brother, I think, who lived in a place called Colwyn Bay.
What was the area like that you lived in?
The area where we lived, it was not far. Well, actually, we were on the foot of the mountain. Well, the mountain in Holyhead, I don't know if you've ever been in Holyhead. And on the island itself, there's four lighthouses. North Stack, South Stack, the Skerries, the Breakwater, they're all on a very terrific. And when I went to school, I was detailed all out of going to carry water from what do you call them taps? That's, you know,
standless.
Yeah, going carry water, no electricity, no toilets, only one of the buckets. And everybody had their own detail to do the job, and didn't they? Did you go in the wrong, like, you know what I mean? Just go and gather wood off the moors for fire, lamp, go and buy paraffin, carry the paraffin, no coal. If you wanted coal, you had to go and carry it, buy a quarter, 100 weight at a time, keep the fire going. Real hard, still recall them days. When I come up to about 13-year-old, I got a job, paper job, and on a Saturday night they used to, what they call, sell the football paper. We used to go and collect them on the railway station, the first up the street, selling them, you know. And they used to give all them coppers to my mum. I used to worship my mum, actually, you know, it's the world of my mum, because my mum was, to me, like, very little chapel woman, religious woman. But I didn't get on much with my dad. My dad was very, very strict, you know. Wasn't allowed to play out in the night time. He'd been at it at school all day, then you had to do your work, go and get wood, go and carry water, do different jobs. And then all the other kids used to be out playing, and we weren't allowed to be out. We had to be in the house, 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock, straight upstairs, you know what I mean.
Was there much money in the house? Did your father earn a good wage?
Well, I recall myself, like, with him being a naval man, I don't think he used to give my mum much, because my mum, my knowledge, used to borrow money off him to keep, you know, ends meet, you know what I mean. With me being the oldest lad, I recall I've had a few arguments later on in life with my sisters. I said, you know nothing, you know what I mean? But we were living as a family, and we were better off than other families, because there was other families in the area. They used to ask us, do we have any bread to spare, you know, and just come regular, bit of bread and this and that, you know what I mean?
Very close-knit community.
Well, more or less, yes, like village community, you know.
What was the house like that you lived in?
Well, the house what we lived in was halfway up the mountain. And in the winter, with a heavy rain and all that, it used to flow through the back kitchen, like a channel in the back kitchen, and very wet and damp. And we had 2 or 3 tubs with get the rain water, spare you carrying it, washing and all that, and all the big tubs where we had them whitewashed inside was to collect all that water. But and we had a little bit of garden, but from where we actually lived, you could see the water very near all the way around the island. You know, we were on good height, like, and there was a farm a few 100 yards away. Well, actually, there was one day, I forget in the year, you could go around most of the farms on the island, and they'd give you a few potatoes, or if they didn't give you a few, some give you, some didn't, you got to turn it. And then I used to go with my mum and carry them, get them back, then he had a few vegetables. Or another farmer might give you half a dozen eggs, you know what I mean? And that's the way it was, and like, you knew this person here, you know, more or less knew each other, you know what I mean? And there was one on the back area of what we call Pentra Pella. A lad, they called him Will Simpson, but he was a school bully or something. And he always used to be on to me all the time. And my mum always used to defend us, like, and this day my dad must have heard it, and his dad was on the doorstep. And he'd been on to me again. And the two dads said, let them sort each other out. Well, he was a big, strong fella compared to me, and he would. I was made to go out, and we were fighting there for about an hour. And actually, I got the best of him. And ever since that day, he always respected me.
You You said that you didn't have a great deal of leisure time as a child, but what kind of games and activities did you get up to?
Well, at school in the morning, like, they used to, in the first thing in the morning, it used to be in the Welsh language. Then in the afternoon, you had different teachers like you have today, I suppose. You had a music teacher, another teacher learn you this and learn you that. One teacher, he was keen on Eisteddfod music, Welsh traditional, because he was staunch Welsh, you know what I mean. But the other teacher, in the afternoon, like, she used to read your story. One thing that I used to love was cricket, but we weren't allowed to play cricket unless you went to a county school, or you only went to the village school, like. But when I come to 13 year old, my mum got me to leave school to, because I had got me a little job and to help, but help the home, you know what I mean. And I got a paper job, got a job taking fish about 2 or 3 miles out of the village to different areas, like. And I come to 14, and then my dad said, I'll get him a job in a quarry. I got a job in a quarry, loading stone. We were 14 year old, loading stone. In the winter, snow covered, loading these wagons with stone. One day we had to go home, we were crying, my hands was crying with a cold. And you had to do it, I wasn't what he calls strong, what he calls strong lad.
What was your first wage?
I think it was about, 14 shillings somewhere for it's William Wilde and Son, Siliger Works it was called.
And you handed all the money over to your mother?
Used to give my mum everything, I used to give my mum every penny. Well, actually, I've always worshipped my mum, you know, and that's the way it was when I, and then I couldn't get in the Navy, which I wanted to get in the Navy. So somebody said to me, why don't you join the Terriers? Well, I said, I'm not old enough. I'm only coming up to 14. Oh, he said, tell me 15. So I went down to the drill hall and I joined the Terriers, the 6th Battalion it was, the Welsh Fusiliers. Oh, you're 15, you're all right then. Well, I'd only been in the Terriers for 8 months. War broke out. Who called us straight up, all in the drill hall, and they moved us to a place in North Wales, Colman Bay.
As a 15-year-old, what was your position in the company? What did a 15-year-old do? Did the same things as the older people?
Yeah, you mixed in with them, yeah.
You did the same drills? And
everything the same, yeah, no.
It wasn't like being a boy soldier and giving something less demanding to do.
No, you got to do the same as them. And when we, the first time away with the TA, then war broke out, like, and when I first joined up, the tunic, the ordinary tunic with the putties, you know, and then we got issued with the battle dress when we went to Colwyn Bay.
So that when you first joined, it would be the old First World War type uniform.
That's right, yeah, the old putties, you know, tunic.
You say you joined the territories. What was the process of joining? What did you have to do?
Well, when you first joined, you start doing drills. You're attending the drill all about twice, maybe three times a week. All basic drills, like, you know, marching, doing fire, going on the range, firing your weapons. You do more or less everything what an ordinary soldier does. You trained to be a fighting man, put it that way. But it naturally, today everything's changed to what it was then. Then it used to be all bayonet work, you know.
You say it was the Royal Welsh Fusiliers. What battalion was it?
6th Battalion.
And which company were you in?
D Company.
Do you recall any of the officers that were there at the time?
Well, actually, I don't, but I have a photo there in the house, which I'll show you if you like later, with the whole battalion, and you can see me on the corner. I think I looked all the youngest of the lot. You know what I mean? I have the actual photo of the battalion. I have it in the house, and I'll show it to you. But we used to be terrified us on a Friday when they were getting paid. We used to go up, salute for your pay, hold your hand out, put in your hand and turn around, salute and turn around again and walk away. I think it was about 7 shilling we got. And out of that, I used to leave 3 for my mum. So I actually had about 4 shilling.
Would this be when you got called up?
That's right, yeah.
First pay. Yeah. So when the war broke out, you went to Conway, did you say?
Colwyn Bay. But on a Friday night, the weekend, the older men, they used to come in like drunk, fighting, and I used to be terrified. We were soldiers, boys soldiers, but we used to be terrified. They used to come in what they call barracks. Well, they weren't barracks, they were just, you know, like what it was a camp, what they took over, it was a holiday camp. And they used to come in, and that used to terrify us as boys, like, you know, because they were men and they used to fight amongst each other. Right. And actually, there was a fella, and he was our cook, and he was my uncle, and he was the cook in the company. And they called him George Lowe. He was a chef at Llandudno. He died, was it last year, the year before? He was coming to his 90s. And he used to look after me a bit, like, you know, with me being my uncle, you know, he used to help us along.
So you went to Colwyn Bay to a converted holiday camp.
That's right, yeah.
Were you housed in the chalets of the camp?
It was like chalets, yeah.
What were you sleeping on?
Oh, on the floor, straw mattresses, you know. Yeah, straw mattresses on the floor, and you had to roll them up. Everything, spick and span in the morning, officers inspecting you, you know.
Well, did they have facilities for keeping your equipment and your uniform?
Oh, you had the old type kit bag then, you know, everything went in your kit bag, but you had to lay, when you were in here, you had to lay everything.
Kit inspection?
Yes, kit inspection. Yeah.
How regular was that?
Could be once, could be twice, all depends, because you were out on manoeuvres, you know. Went on a route march.
You say that they issued you with battle dress. What other equipment did they give you?
Your basic equipment, your rifle, you know, all your kit, your all webbing, you know, all it used to be then.
And you were what, 15, 16 at that time, were you?
No, I wasn't 15, just coming on to 15, you know. Then. Because later on in life, I wasn't 19 when I went out to the Middle East. You know, that was later on in life. But when things got bad, and our troops were sent out to France and all the Dunkirk carry on, they were organising our lot, my battalion, they went to Ireland. And all the boys kept back, and we were drafted, some were drafted down to, was it, guarding ammunition ships, getting loaded with ammunition and all that down South Wales, Newport. And from there, no, before we went down to Newport, we were drafted to a school in Conway. And I'll never forget, there was a sergeant there, he was a VC in the First World War, Sergeant Wheeler, and he was our sergeant. Well, I was getting a bit older then, getting a bit more forward, or put it that way, in life, and then we were having a bit of a skirmish or something with one of these other lads in the schoolroom. We billeted in Conway, and Sergeant Wheeler come in, and I got the blame for it, and Sergeant Wheeler grabbed all of them, and he was a Victoria Cross in the First World War. He said, we'll have to learn you a lesson. I said, what have I said, it was his fault, not my fault. He said, yes, but you shouldn't lift weapons up when you're going to fight. You know, but you're young then and you're full of life. And he marched us to the police station. And on the way up, I must have struggled. And he hit me, the sergeant. I was only a boy. And he busted my eye. And you know, they took us in the police station. And more or less crying, I think I was, or something like that. I don't know if it was temper or what. And then I heard him saying, Sergeant Wheeler, he said, oh, you'll have to get a doctor into him to stitch his eye up, to cover up, I suppose, you know what I mean? And that's what they then, the next day, I was locked up all night in the private cell in Conway. They took us back the next morning, I think they gave us 7 days. Well, I was actually innocent. Yeah.
When you came into the army with the outbreak of war, when you became, in effect, regulars, the fact that war was on, did that worry you at all?
No, I didn't worry at all, no. Never worried at all about it. Never entered my mind. Well, actually, the reason for that being we didn't know what war was like.
How did you take to that first full-time army life?
Well, actually, I was enjoying it, because to me, like, with life at home, to me, like, coming in the army, it was a bit better standard, like, you know what I mean? But going back, I must have forgot about it, totally. No, I got a job before I went in the quarry, before I went back. And it was a handy lad in a place called Ross Niger. I'd never been away from home before. And I went to this hotel, and I had a bad cough like I have now at present. And the manager said, oh, it's winter time, but we still employ you. And he looked like Peter Law, the actor. Peter Law, and this little fella. And he gave me my duties. He said, you light the fire in the, keep all the hot water system and his shoes left out, you clean the shoes, you do all the odd jobs in the hotel. And he said, now I'll show you the room. And I went up and it was a second landing on the hotel. And my first night in bed, and I was still a bit frightened, first time from home. And I looked up and there was somebody sat on the foot of the bed. I don't know, I said, what's that? So I creeped out and I kicked out of it. There was nothing there, and I switched the light on the same time. Well, that worried me, and I was getting a bit frightened about it. And I put the light on, jumped out of bed, and then there was nothing there. Well, that actually frightened me. So I said, that's funny. So I got back into bed, and then I was a bit frightened then. I switched the light, got it back, and as soon as I got back in bed, it was there again. Oh, I'm not stopping here. No, and I jumped out of bed, and I'd done exactly the same thing again, and I switched the light on. There was nothing there. So I said, what's up? This place haunted. So I sat on the bed, and looked, and when I looked up, the door, at the top of the door, there was just glass on the top of the door. And along the landing, there was somebody who'd hung their raincoat on a hall stand, you know, where you hang your clothes. And the reflection of that was coming through the top of the door, and you'd think there was somebody sat there. Well, I solved that problem, and it actually worried me that lot. But I didn't stop long after that. I went back home, you know, first time from home, like, you know what I mean.
Were you nervous of new things, new situations?
Well, I was made nervous through a lot of things, like, not what you call, like, my dad used to work over when he was in that, on the boilers, you know, quarry, you know. And if he was working over, I had to take him some bit of food. And he had to go over some moors, down another quarry, and in the winter time, not a soul about, and he had to borrow a torch. Well, I used to be terrified going along all them players in on your own, you know what I mean? They used to put the creeps up, yeah.
And this nervousness wasn't shown when you went full-time in the army?
I got out of it, like, as you're growing older, you know what I mean? You get out of all these things.
How did you find the food in the army?
The food in the army was porridge, which I couldn't get away with, you know. I believe they used to put salt in it. To me, the food, not up to scratch. What coppers he had, he used to go in an affy and buy cup of tea or something. Very, very little army food I'd eat, like.
And the kind of food you got for dinner, was that a similar situation that you weren't keen on it?
Pardon?
The food that you got for your dinner, your main meal.
Your main meal was, well, it was all right if there was some good cooks on it, it wouldn't be so bad. But the way it was cooked half the time, you know what I mean? When you had a decent cook, it wasn't bad at all. But you had some bad cooks in the army, you know. But you had decent ones and bad ones.
The drill training that you initially did when you first went in as a territorial, was that done to numbers?
Oh, yes, you got in what you call in platoons, in the company. You went out as a squad, you know. Unless you then, naturally, you learned your basics, and then the longer you were in, and it went further on, you know, got to what's happening, and... Because we got moved from there, then when we went.
Before we go to that one, how did you take at the end of the day to being amongst a whole lot of men, full time?
Well, actually, with me, because I always looked very young. And to tell you the truth, most of the older men, and they were conscripts, well, the battalion I went as a staff to form assembly in Durham, they used to look after me. But there was quite a few of them. There was one particular fella. He used to be on to me, asking me all different things, different questions. Personally, I think he used to pick what I actually knew, you know what I mean? And he was soon promoted. He was soon made up to a corporal. And one night I was late coming in, he was the first fella to charge me. Should have been in about 12 o'clock. You know, I was a bit late. And Corporal in charge of the guard, he charged me.
How long were you at Colwyn Bay before you moved to something?
Maybe 6 months, you know. They moved the battalion to Ireland, 6th Battalion. What? And they moved us, scattered us, with us being different. I believe there was, we had medicals, some of us were in the A1, on categories, you know, the drifting of it. So, like, you were fitter than me, and we had to go in front of a medical again, you know what I mean? And some of the lads were a bit older than me. They went to join the battalion. They were a bit older than I was, you know, 12 months here.
What did your parents think of you now, a soldier in the army during wartime?
Well, my mum, according to what I got told later on in life in the army, she would be worried, you know, worried about us, because I was very close with my mum, as I told you. You know, and more or less, she always used to defend me when I was at school. You know, Jack, you know, she was calling me. I went by I always got called Jack, but my name was John. You know.
And what did your father think?
Well, my father, I never used to get on with my dad, put it that way. You know what I mean? The reason I didn't get on with my dad was, like, the other kids out playing, I would never allow me out, you know.
There was an ex-royal lady.
The reason for that, he said to me, he said, you have to be in for 9 o'clock. And if he said he had to be in for 9 o'clock, if you're 5 minutes late, that was it. He'd either, he'd get belted for it. And I used to be terrified of him, you know what I mean?
So you were used to discipline then?
Oh, very. My dad was very strict.
And did this help you when you had to face the discipline of the army?
Well, actually, at home, the discipline was worse than the army. You know what I mean? Because He used to be very strict. And my mum used to defend us because he would beat me up. If he says I'd be in for 8 o'clock, if I wasn't in for 8 o'clock, I'd cop it, you know what I mean? And my mum used to more or less protect me, you know what I mean?